All right. So welcome, welcome, welcome. The Sassy Writer is live today with author and educator, Dr. Robert F. DeFinis, and we are so excited. So just a quick introduction of myself. My name is Noyek. You may or may not have heard of me. I'm an author, and I'm also a literacy advocate. And today we are going to be speaking with Dr. Robert DeFinis, and I'm going to allow him to introduce himself.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fantastic to be on your show. Just a little bit about me, just a career educator. I've been in the education coaching field for over 20 years. I've taught at the elementary, middle, and college level. I still teach one class every Monday night. I'm very passionate about education and also kind of like what you are, someone who loves literacy, who is an advocate for literacy and childhood literacy. I've been in that space specifically for the last decade, and I really enjoyed it. And more recently, a children's author.
Right. So that's your latest title. We can see that you're kind of like a jack of all trades. That is awesome. An educator. So we are definitely very grateful for you. I just tip my hat because this last week, I'm in Georgia and we've returned to school. And so I was joking the other day saying that I've added lunch lady and teacher to my resume. And I'm just like, can we just make everything free for teachers already? Like, y'all are amazing. I definitely tip my hat off. And also, if you're tuned in and you have heard this name before, if you have are familiar with The Sassy Writer, then you will. That's where you recognize it from as well. We actually had the privilege of connecting with you for your first release. And the title is very unique. I always get tongue-tied because I always add words and take words out. So I'm going to allow you to tell us what was the title of your first release. And it was very important and very relevant to our times.
Yeah, so the icky, filthy, creepy, slimy Corona Monster was a book that I kind of came up with right when the pandemic started. We were kind of fooling around with the kids, and my son had joked to my daughter, you better wash your hands because the Corona Monster is going to get you. And it kind of hit me. It hit me right there that, we've now learned a lot. We're still learning much more.
Right.
So the basics of the first book were wash your hands, create some social distance, right? And cover your sneeze and cough. And they were the basics. Now we've learned that there are some additional things you can do, like wear a mask.
Right.
But from day one, the first two or three weeks when I wrote that we really weren't wearing masks. We were, we were quarantined and we weren't going outside. And then as things started to break a little bit, we understood the importance of wearing a mask and to be responsible to our fellow neighbors. So we make sure that, we don't, impact anybody else negatively. So that was the first book. I'll tell you what, it exceeded my expectations. I stopped tracking some of the, I made it free. And I made the first book free. Obviously, you can purchase it through Amazon. I have sold over 4,800 copies, physical copies, but I never wanted it to be a barrier between a child and reading something that's going to be very important to them. So I didn't want any barriers in between. So I did make it free on a number of platforms. I stopped tracking it around 61,000 downloads.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. That was about 2 weeks ago. And that's just, it's probably out there and I'll always get, I just got a video 2 nights ago from someone who sent me, their mother, which would be their child's grandmother, reading it to them. And I thought it's just so neat to get that type of outreach and be, let people see what the book is all about. And that was always the premise, give it away. And if people can learn from it, fantastic. And, so yeah, exceeded expectations. I thank you so much for sharing it. You were a big part of that as well.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely. It was definitely a story that was necessary for our times. And, the funny thing about it, but not like, haha, but like the funny thing about it is that our kids literally went to school one day and then it was the case of pack your things, you're going home today, and we don't know when you will return to your classroom. So it was frustrating as adults, but you know, your book was just a reminder that it is necessary to stop and to just, you know, kind of level with our kids and let them know that this is what we're dealing with, and speaking to it to them in their language to understand that, you know, life as you have known for your, you know, short years, is something is happening that we're, it's causing an evolution that is kind of much quicker than we anticipated, and not really in a direction that we were hoping, you know. It makes everyone a little more conscious and a little more cleaner, but you know, we definitely didn't want to lose certain freedoms in that process. But your book was a great tool in maneuvering that conversation. So definitely thank you as a parent for releasing that story. It was very necessary. And the cool thing is that you didn't just stop there with telling kids and empowering children on how to beat the corona monster, not making it so scary, you know, but like actually giving them their power to say, hey, this thing is out there, but it, you know, I know the secret, you know, power to keep myself and my family safe. But you also went a step farther and remember that, you know, you guys were going into your summer vacation, but school has to return. And this brings us up to your up, because you're not quite released just yet, right? It's in the next couple of days for your new release, right?
Yeah. So in the you know, there's always some technical glitch.
Right. Welcome to the digital age.
Oh man. It will release 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay.
There's just one, yeah, and you have to be excited. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But there is, you know, there's one little technical thing that's kind of holding some things up, but we're gonna go. We're gonna be fine. It'll figure itself out, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's no worries. But you know, it's interesting. This book does have it's not specifically directly related. Obviously, the corona piece is a definitely big part of this new book. I've decided that I was gonna write, when I started to get into writing children's books, that I wanted to talk about contemporary issues, mm-hmm. things that children are dealing with in the present. And I was kind of hoping that we would be, because my idea for a first day book is based on my own kindergarten little girl, uh-huh. who will be, you know, taking on this journey in the next week or two. And I had a completely different vision on the content and the story. I was hoping and holding out even till July that I would still be able to write that original story.
Right.
And because I had been working on it for so long, but it wasn't going to be like that. You touched upon it. I mean, you know, some children are going back to school. Some children will be doing hybrid learning or mm-hmm. some type of creative way to mm-hmm. get them learning. And some children will be exactly where they left off in the spring with some type of virtual learning or distance learning.
Exactly. And
that is what I'm tackling, because that is what our family will be dealing with, is the virtual piece. We won't be returning in the fall, and we will have to figure out what that will look like. And while everybody is optimistic, and that is the focal point, is to be optimistic,
right,
that we will get back to how life we always imagine life being in, you know, in school. But for the time being, we have to tackle the issue that's in front of them.
Absolutely. And as a parent doing total virtual learning with a first grader, it is very interesting, to say the least. It is very interesting. Like, this is every day is a different day. So it's the first day was the most interesting. And it was kind of like, wait, this is school, but this is my room. You mean
right.
It's all the same? But now that, you know, and I once again, I take my hats off to the teachers. His teacher has been on it. We had PE on Friday, and it was literally a PE class. And I was like, she is. Like, this is amazing. I would have never thought of this.
You know, and I want to talk about that real quickly, because it's important as an educator. Our teachers, you know, they had to adjust immediately, and they were in crisis mode and trying to control the situation in the spring in such a short amount of time that we may say, like, well, they had the whole summer, right? That's what we mm-hmm. had the whole summer. But they put on a masterclass nationwide on how to try to figure out to provide a real experience. And I say this in my author message, this might be an opportunity to completely reimagine education, right?
Right.
And I think that you're seeing that. You're seeing if there's a benefit, right? We're always trying to look to a benefit. Parents, I'll tell you this, just if I was someone stepping out of the circle, parents are more engaged. I see that from across the spectrum, yeah. Right? Parents are engaged. They want to see what's going on. They have to be active participants now. They have to be on the pulse of what's going on with, you know, live and delayed learning. And mm-hmm. I think that that's a benefit. That's a positive. Obviously, there's constraints and there's situations, and not every parent can do this. And we all feel for that. And we're still learning on the fly. But you're absolutely right. Bravo to the teachers, because they're still, even up until, you know, the midnight hour, they're still preparing. They're still working. I saw, you know, I'm on a tons of different forums now. Uh-huh. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, the whole concept of, you know, if you will, they're going to have to do so much more work.
Gotcha.
If you think about it, the preparation, because there's additional layers now.
Right.
So we can no longer say, well, you know, teachers, you know, really what did, you know, hear the cliche, what do teachers do? Well, right. They do what they've always done. And now you've added a bunch of different layers on the executing thing. So, and you said it as a parent, you're like, oh my, like, wow. Right? You're being thrown into it as a, you are now a, let's look, you're a co-teacher.
Right. That's exactly. So I'm just gonna go ahead and go with my adding, you know, teacher and lunch lady to my resume. I'm convinced. I got it. I'm a pro.
I have your skill sets now. Yep, absolutely.
So and with that, I know your new book is not necessarily focused on school and life as we know now during COVID. That wasn't the inspiration behind it. That was just kind of how it evolved into, you know, such a story. However, tell me a little bit about what or who inspired the actual story, Lady P's First Day.
So to kind of give you the brief of it, I know we all think our children are exceptional. That's what we do as parents, right?
All our kids are exceptional.
So I'll just say this, you know, I believe that my daughter is absolutely exceptional. Her early journey in life, you know, had some, you know, ups and downs. So, you know, I think about a year ago, I started to realize that, you know, she was going to be going to school. This is a heavy milestone for any learner. And obviously parents, you know, there's a, you know, a sentimental piece to it. So there was an original storyline, but as I've already said, it's changed a little bit, but it's changed for the better. So the true inspiration is my daughter, Penelope. That's her full name.
Okay.
She has like a million, I think, nicknames. But I started calling her Lady P very early on, and it kind of stuck. And like I said, she's an exceptional young lady. She'll be starting her journey in about 2 weeks, and she'll be doing virtual, and we're doing that preparation too with the technology and making sure we're set and we're ready. And we're also preparing for, I'm optimistic, you know, as the book goes into it, not to give it completely away.
Right.
You know,
it's a great read. So please don't give it away.
But you know, there's a, there could be a change down the road that we all would love to see happen. And that's how the story kind of unfolds. I actually have her over here, Penelope.
I was going to say, can we meet Miss Penelope?
She's very shy.
Okay.
She's going to come up here. You want to say hi? Come on. So Penelope. Oh, Penelope, Lady P. You want to say hi?
How are you?
How
does it feel to be so amazingly famous that you have a whole book about you?
I don't know. She's a little on the shy side, but I'll tell you what. when I read this book to her, because who's my first audience, right? You know, you write
right.
a couple drafts, you get it. When I read it to her, you know, she's a, you know, a nonverbal. So her face lit up. I tried to get the illustrations exactly to match and look exactly the way her brother and myself and she, the way, you know, we present ourselves. And as soon as she saw the, you know, the cover, and as soon as she saw the picture, she like, you know, that's me. That's kind of my story and how it's going to unfold. But yeah, no, this is my inspiration. This is the little girl who I wrote the book after. As I told you, contemporary issues, addressing things that children are going, you know, going to experience in real time. And right. this is what she's going to experience in the next few weeks.
Absolutely. And from that big smile, I think she gave you two thumbs up.
Yeah. Two thumbs up. All right, I'll let her go because she can already tell she's like pulling away from
me. That is so awesome. That is awesome. And I had the opportunity to share the story to my little ones. And like I said, I definitely can't give it away. But one of the things that really lit my heart up and was the fact that, you know, by the time I got to the end of the story, the excitement and the hope that I felt when I started reading the story to them about, you know, that rite of passage, that stepping out to this, you know, this brave new world, it felt more, it had grown even more. Like it was just a warm light for, by the time I reached in the story, the hope that I felt like this is what we have to look forward to. And I am definitely on board. Like I am here for this. And, when I got to the end of the story, I was talking to my kids and I was asking them, you know, what do you think? How do you feel? And the one thing that my son asked me was, so why don't they have on masks? And I said, that's good. That's that progression to yeah. where, you know, as you put it, that hope.
Yeah.
That is that beacon of hope.
Yeah. And we can talk. I mean, and like I said, this book will also be given away in PDF format. So it'll be on also resources for children to get and parents and teachers. Okay. Last week, I started to advertise that I wanted to give this away to educators. And I had, I had a pre-sale of about 325 books, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then I also have about 525 teachers and educators that will be reading it on their first day for free. So I'm okay to talk about kind of the arc of the story.
Okay.
And absolutely. You know, we're in a situation where I think a lot of people have been given in the last 30 days related to school and their children mm-hmm. have not been given the exact information that they were hoping for. Right? So we end school and we're thinking, okay, we have 3 months. We're going to get this. We're going to conquer it. And our kids are, it's going to be back. And now we are realizing that that's not going to happen. There are some that are going back and they're going to treat it and they're going to be respectful and those types of things. But there's a lot of people that just more frustration, mm-hmm. more disappointment. Mm-hmm. So the book starts out with, here we go, but there's the disappointment, right? We've learned that it's right. not going to be the same. It's going to be a very different school year than what we thought. However, different doesn't always mean bad. So right. we learn in the story, in the, you know, the middle of the story, that different can be positive.
Right.
And we also touch upon in the story that we have to be vigilant to the virus and things that are going on. So we do still practice social distance. We still wear our mask when we're out in public.
Right.
But towards the end of the story, we have to give a little bit of hope. We have to give a little bit of, I think, you know, inspiration that eventually there is a possibility that we can return to, I don't like to keep using the word normalcy. And, you know, we've stretched that word to its breaking point. But I do want to be able to provide people with some hope and some lasting inspiration that, you right. know what, maybe in the spring, maybe next school year, maybe in a year and a half, 2 years, I don't know, that we might not be wearing masks anymore. We still will be very respectful and like going back to the first book, making sure we wash our hands, cover our cough,
right.
create social distance. But we also can, there could be a possibility that we get back to some things that look like before. And I wanted to provide at the end that piece. I know that it's not going to be for everyone. But you know what? If we can believe in unicorns and dragons and magic.
I was about to say, listen, I'm all here for the unicorns, the rainbows, all of that. So it was definitely for me.
Right. So if we can believe in those types of things and tell our children that you know, you can believe in, you know, a magical fairy, then I think we can believe that we can one day not wear a mask in school. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
That was the, that's how I wanted to end it. And I feel like, you know, as the author, you know, I get to have the creative control, and I'm sure I'm already waiting for, you know, some people to, you know, give me that, you know, critical feedback, and I'm okay with that. That's perfectly fine too.
Right. Right. Now, what I do want to, touch bases on before I segue from what you just said with giving hope, I want to hold on to that 1 second. But there was one thing that you said, one line in particular. You said sometimes learning starts in one place and ends in another. I think that was one of the most perfect ways I've ever heard that summed up. Because when you speak about the fact, or even when you have to illustrate the fact that, you know, the traditional sense of learning was the setting was in your classroom, was here, it was next to your, you know, your classmate, and you may lean over to borrow a pencil or whatever, and it may not be your reality for today. But however, that doesn't mean that you aren't able to continue your learning or continue, you know, just your sense of schooling, your sense of being with your peers, because it has the ability to still be, although you're in a completely different setting. So that was, I like that.
It became the theme as you know, when you read the book, it becomes the theme that mm-hmm. we're going to start in one way of doing things and we're going to end in another. So I tried to keep that the thematic approach. And the cool thing is, you know, I think personally, look at all of the awesome and creative ways we have been doing learning in the last 4 to 5 months, mm-hmm. right? We're using technology like we've never used before. We're getting creative and blending all types of ways of doing things. We're, you know, immediately, if you remember in the spring, you know, there were virtual tours and there were, take a look at these national parks online.
Right.
Everybody was kind of getting in the mix to say, listen, we can, let's fill the gap. And I felt that we are going to start one way, but we're going to finish another way. We're going to get through it and it's going to be very successful and you're going to be perfectly fine with it. But we have to kind of reaffirm with people that not going to be like what we imagined, but that doesn't mean it's bad.
It's okay.
Another opportunity, right?
Absolutely.
So
going back to ending the story with hope, overall, I think that's the best approach because it helps with addressing what I believe is very important during this time, obviously, the mental health of kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they're already living in this, their little bubbles because, you know, everyone's extra cautious. So, and I feel like as a children's book author, you know, filled with the fiction stories, the creativity, the pictures, this, and all of the great things that brings it together, it is always very important and very, it makes me happy to see when you create the things that give hope, the things that make children smile, the things that allows their imagination to stretch. And those things are very necessary right now, especially because they are, you know, confined to, in some cases, just one place. Essentially all day or all week or whatever, you know, keeping an account, kids that may live in apartments, that may live here, that may not have access to parks, that maybe can't go out and to be a part of everything else that allows them to explore and to release themselves or whatever the case may be. So with that being said, how do you as an educator, you know, wrapping up your story with this, the theme of hope, see that as important to the current?
I think children take direction from us, right? They're, mm-hmm. you know, they're observational learners, and they're seeing what is mom and dad, how are they responding to the current circumstances? Mm-hmm. And I think we have seen, I think every parent in the last 5 months, they've been all over the spectrum, right? There are highs and there are lows. There's everything in between. You have people losing their job. You have people trying to figure out, am I really suitable to be my child's teacher, right?
Right.
Am I capable of doing that? But you're seeing people constantly step up to the plate. And I applaud everyone for the ability to look past the immediate frustrations and figure things out. If not for, now as parents, we do this because we need to do this. We need to put ourselves on the back burner for our own children. If you have hope, if you believe in hope, and you believe that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that's going to, it's going to shine. Your children are going to see that. That's how you talk. That's how you speak. That's how you live your life, right?
Right.
And they're going to want to emulate that, and they're going to want to be in that mental space. The worst thing we can do is, you know, while we're at home, while we're around them, really not be focused on them, not really be present. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. Obviously, all the things that I mentioned are on the plate of many people. And but you have to learn that your child is watching, right? They're observational learners. They're going to take it from your lead. I want our kids to understand that they have the capacity and ability to obviously do whatever they want in life and be able to figure things out. And my book presents, that's it. Listen, you know, that I do it in the book on day one, right? You know, everybody has a little bit of preparation, but like I'm hitting you upside the head on day one, right? Right. So,
right.
You have to fight through some of it, the confusion, and you gotta be ready to go. And we talk about resiliency. That's a big issue for me in my coaching with athletes and also mm-hmm. in the classroom, developing resilient little learners and also holding on to that resiliency as you go through your life and development. Because as parents and as adults, we actually lose our resiliency. We look at risk and we evaluate it very differently than, say, a 9-year-old. Right. And sometimes we do it because we need to be cautious. We can't throw, you know, caution to the wind and just keep doing things. We need to evaluate certain things. But, you know, a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, you know what? They get on that bike and they fall off and they roll around, or, you know, they jump across that creek and or they fly high and they don't think about the risk too much. And sometimes we need to tap back into that in order, you know, to get to where we want to be.
I love it. Yes, that is so true. That is so true. That is too true. So, you know, I understand things are changing and where you're not necessarily writing according to those things that are changing is happening. However, at this point, what is something or what are the next things that we can expect from RDF Books?
You know, I have so many. I think once you start, so if I go back a second, writing a children's book had been something I wanted to do for a long time. And I just hadn't had the time or opportunity. And this has presented a little bit of additional time and opportunity. So I have utilized and leveraged exactly what we're experiencing to start to draft and cultivate the stories that I want to tell. I didn't think I would do anything closely related to Corona, but Corona is sticking around.
Right.
Right. And there's versions of the situation that keep changing. I don't think I'll have anything that will be going into that subject matter, anything related to that. I have a children's book series coming out next year. Dealing more with the coaching side of what I do. You know, I have been coaching for over 20 years, specifically soccer. And I always wanted to put a sports series together. I call it Dexter and Dalton Play. Okay. And it's two best friends that are, you know, they join T-ball, right? And uh-huh. together. And what does that look like, right? What does, you know, are there learning things for coaches and parents and the game itself. So it's going to help. I think it could be a vehicle for helping parents to pull it off the shelf and say, all right, well, hey, listen, you were talking about T-ball. Well, these are the rules. And this is what you can expect from coaches. And this is what you can expect from parents. And telling it in narrative form, obviously very kid friendly. And then doing a series for like baseball, soccer, you know, and just keeping it going. I'd love to do that. I started to, you know, play around a little bit with the illustration with that in the storyline. And then in between that, I have another idea to address stage fright and public speaking.
Okay.
So I'm tinkering around with that. I don't want to talk too much about it because, you know, we always have these creative ideas and it's like, then it don't happen.
Right. And people be like, hey, that's your lives of it all. And you all have that one person that remembers it. And you're like, how do you remember that?
Right. So I'm kicking it around and I'm maybe if I we'll see what happens. I'm going to spend all of September. The uniqueness of Lady P's first day is that it is a first day book. Obviously you can read the book all year, but it does have a window of September of having, you know, a, you know, people following the message and right, wanting that information. I'm hoping October 1st, I can pivot towards some other projects. I also did start, I found as a self-publisher, I decided to go the self-publishing route because I want my stuff out there now. I don't want to wait to get, you know, find someone who wants it. You know, it could be years down the road. So I decided that, you know what, I can do this my own. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to market it. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to tell my story. And so, you know, it takes a lot of energy to be able to do all those particular things and to be successful. But one thing I saw that is not out there, I wanted to create a platform where other authors can kind of find other independent children's authors can find someone who's in their space doing reviews, showcasing books, not getting those rejection and no's from more of the traditional side of publishing.
Right.
So I'm going to be launching a blog on Instagram under RDF Book Reviews.
Okay.
Specifically looking at children's books.
Uh-huh.
And I say this now, but my policy is I'm not going to say no to anybody.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So if you want your children's book reviewed, I'm going to review it. I'm going to take a look at it. I'm going to give a blurb, you know, a paragraph to two paragraphs, nothing big. I'm going to put it on there and you can share it and you can give it and you can do what you want with it. But too often, you know, I mean, I understand people's time and, you know, the industry is very saturated.
Right.
You know, a lot of authors get a lot of no's. No. And I want to be that yes for them to say, here's a platform. Here's a platform. Here's your book. Here's what I like about it. And to be very authentic too. You know, not everything, you know, when I read my reviews, I look at them, you know, and you, sometimes you get, you know, out of 4 stars, you get that 2-star and you're like, oh, why did I get a 2-star? But that 2-star is important. It helps you grow. Right. It helps you grow. You know, your next book will be better from that 2-star. Obviously, there are people who will never like your books because that's
just not for everyone.
Not for everyone. That's okay. So that project I want to start also in between now and my next book. And that'll be a lot of work, right? Taking other people's books and doing reviews and things like that. So I want to get that off the ground. So tons for RDF books. My publishing goal is 2 a year.
Okay.
I would like
to talk to Dr. Phoenix, please know that you have a platform here with us. And we will also love to spotlight when you do get the children's book review project off the ground. We would definitely love to spotlight that as well. But quick, funny story. I want to go back to your sports series. So definitely, can you sign me up for the soccer one? So funny story, my son was in karate and it turned out to not be something he was completely interested in. But the funny thing that I say all the time is he literally went in as a black belt. Like he was not trying to hear the step by step, like, no, first today we're just kicking. He's like, no, I got this. I'm Bruce Lee. I got this. But I'm definitely thinking he's expressed that he's interested in soccer. So please, I think we're gonna need that story because we're gonna need to know that we're not. I think it's what is his name? The one that Victoria Posh Spice is married to.
Oh, Beckham.
Yeah, we're not him starting out. We're gonna need. Doesn't he play soccer? I think.
Yeah, we're
gonna be starting from the first building block. So you definitely have a reader there for that one.
To your point, what I always recommend, I've been in youth sports for a long time, is that it should always be exploratory, especially 4-year-olds to 12-year-olds. Get them playing and trying different things. You know, your child isn't a basketball player at 7. That's just not how it works, you know? So get them, let him try, you know, karate's great, you know, and let them explore. You know, we always have the adage, make sure they finish, you know, they're going to start a season, make sure they finish. There's teachable moments in youth sports everywhere you go. But absolutely. I wouldn't say people become very isolated and they get very narrow-minded when they're doing sports with kids. They think, you know, oh, I played soccer, so my child's going to play soccer and that's all they're going to play and they're going to be a soccer professional. No, try a couple different things. You'll be surprised.
They will tell you. That was the part that kind of, you know, I was like, oh, okay. Like, he was very vocal. Even my daughter with cheering and dance, like, she was very vocal about which one it was that interests her the most. And I was rather surprised. You know, I just assume, like, oh, okay. But they both let me know when it was just like, I don't like this. Yes.
Yeah. And something to remember, you know, we're not really, we really shouldn't be in the mindset of we're trying to train children to become professional athletes, right? Because it's less than 1% that become professional athletes, right? And anyone who has coached really high level athletes will tell you they really don't really start to become sport specific until they're in their teens. Yeah, they don't. I mean, if you look at certain athletes that are now on the biggest stages, some of them didn't play their sport until they were in their early teens. They played multiple sports. They tried different things. What they were was they were athletic, right? Makes so sense. They had athleticism that helped to guide them. And then when they found their true passion, like basketball or hockey, they leveraged that passion with their athleticism, and then that's a very healthy combination to get to where they are. Me personally, my children play sports. They play sports to get other skills, socialization skills, leadership skills, understanding, compromising, all those things that are important in early childhood development. That's what they're going to get from sports and activities. And by the way, it might not be sports. Might be painting, right?
Right.
Singing, dancing. That might be their true gift. And why not let them explore that to at least give you the information to say, you know, Mom, it's not for me. Let me try this.
I'm definitely excited to see more of this in your upcoming series.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Now, it's been an absolute pleasure sharing this platform with you today. If you are tuned in right now, Dr. DeFinis is going to tell you where you will be able to access how to defeat the filthy, icky coronavirus.
Yeah, I
left out several words, so I'm going to let him say the name.
It's fine. You know what? Isn't it great? Because, like, you can – some people just – I was on Twitter, someone shared the book and on Twitter you retweet it, and I said, hey, thanks for the share. And this person, young lady, she was in like China, and she's like, oh my goodness, the Corona Monster author.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. And right. It's calling it the Corona Monster.
You remembered it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you can leave out the first 5 or 6 words.
Right.
Well, it's all good stuff. But yeah, you can get my books on Amazon. Both of my books are on Amazon. The Corona Monster book has been on since May. My new book will go on live tomorrow morning. And you can also get my book in print copy at my website. And that's drdefinis.com. So it's Dr., my last name, DEFINIS.com.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. DeFinis, for being here with us. We're looking forward to hearing so much more from you. I'm excited just to follow up, you know, in the coming months with the children's book reviews. Definitely going to be looking for that. And as well as within in the next 6 months to so, the series on the sports. Just know that the Sassy Writer is a platform that welcomes it, welcomes all of your projects. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. And also thank you for everything you're doing for writers. We definitely appreciate that. Any space that we can talk, it's not just about promotion. It's about, I love the conversation and I just having good conversation. We definitely appreciate that. So thank you.
Absolutely. And you have an amazing night.
You too. Bye-bye.